we won't. Tonight we won't. We finish tonight because we start tonight the way we're going to finish. Fast, physical, and out of control. And the bottom line is, it's all for each other.
Welcome, everyone, once again to a brand new show. It's the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm your host, RF. I'll be joined, of course, with my co-host, Royce. We've had a great week of shows. If you guys have missed the shows this week, go back and download all of them. All of them are great. And today we're going to cap things off on this Friday, January the 14th. We're going to cap it all off with a preview for the NFL playoffs. So everyone, get your pen and paper ready. We're going to break down all the games. We're going to look at every position from coach versus coach, quarterback versus quarterback, offense versus offense, defense versus defense. And tonight we want to hear from all of our listeners out there. So if you listen to us live, call 323-927-2906. That's 323-927-2906. We want to hear from everyone. Or you can follow us at Twitter. Go to twitter.com/RFSportsRadio. Let me bring on my co-host real quick, Royce.
Hey, Rodney, what's going on?
Oh, I'm feeling good. It's Friday. We've had a great week of shows. We broadcasted every day this week. It's been wonderful. And I'm ready for some football come tomorrow. We've got some great games to really discuss tonight.
Well, I'm glad you're in a good mood because it's still cold in Dallas because the Mavericks are still ice stone cold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got to definitely get it. We got to definitely talk about that, and we want to remind everyone, if you want to see any of our coverage of any of the live games, we always write information about the Mavs, about every team really in sports. Go to rfsportsradio.com. You can listen to the shows there, see all of our posts, all of our videos on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/rfsportsradio, and check out everything there, so definitely stay tuned. Let's jump into a couple of top stories real quick, Royce, before we get into the NFL action. Big story. We talked about this yesterday with Bill Ingram from HoopsWorld.com about the Carmelo trade. And we've been saying we think he's going to go somewhere. We don't know where. There was a New Jersey Nets deal in place. That fell through because the Nets couldn't stop running their mouth talking about the deal. So that fell through.
Nice.
Then the story breaks yesterday that maybe a deal in the works for him to go to the Knicks. That involves the Memphis Grizzlies. They were sending him and Rudy Gay both to the Knicks. Now, we had Bill on yesterday, Royce, and he said that he thinks there's no way Melo's leaving Denver. He said he knows Melo knows some of his people around him. And he said that Melo does not want to leave Denver. He vocally said he wants to leave Denver whatsoever. It's just the people that are around him want him to go to New York.
Wow. You know, I always said that Melo would probably stay in Denver because, you know, even before the season started, rumors about him being traded. Nothing was done. If anything's going to happen, it's going to be before the deadline. And, I just don't see it. They love him too much in Denver. I got to agree with Bill.
Yeah, and he made a great point because if they traded Melo, just imagine what's going to happen to that team from now on. They're going from a contender to a nobody, you know, quick. You know, why give up Melo for, like he put it, why give up Melo for Derek Favors? Why give up Melo for, you know, whatever other player besides the best player on your team? Why give him to the New Jersey Nets or the Knicks for nothing? And which is a great point. Now, there was a story that came out today.
We're looking at LeBron James' situation. Look what happened to Cleveland since he left. You know.
Right, perfect example.
Nothing anymore. Right.
Yeah, they got stomped by the L.A. Lakers 112-57 this week. So, you're absolutely right. That's an excellent point. Now, a story came out today. Melo did an interview with Colleen Dominguez from ESPN. And he said in the interview, you can go and check this out on our blog at rsportsradio.com. But he says on the interview that his ultimate dream is to play in New York, whether it be a New Jersey Nick or a Net.
Right.
He has strong ties to Brooklyn. He loves that area, him and his wife both. Love that area. And he says in a quote, he says, that's like the ultimate dream at the end of the day. Who wouldn't want to go back home and play? He brings up the point that even as a New Jersey Net, he have a chance to open up the new arena in Brooklyn in 2012, his home. Even as a New York Knicks, he grew up watching the Knicks. He wants to go back and play with them. Now, he went on to say, I don't know. I mean, I really can't answer that question. I want to play next year, and it's tough for me to sit here and say, oh, I want to play in New York, or oh, I want to play in New Jersey, or oh, I want to stay in Denver. So he's got a tough decision to make. Ultimately, though, Royce, what do you think he's going to do?
Well, you know, Rodney, after Cliff Lee left Dallas, the Rangers, I wouldn't be surprised what these guys are doing. LeBron James going to Miami. You know, nothing would surprise me nowadays. So prepare for a big surprise. That's all I can tell you.
Well, whatever he does, I think it's going to be a surprise if he decides to re-sign with Denver. And she asked him specifically, you know, if you want to stay in Denver, why not sign the extension? Why not get your money in Denver and be fine? He says, I haven't even thought about signing an extension with anyone at this point. So, and the Nuggets offered him a 3-year extension worth $65 million that he left on the table. So you got to have plans to do something different. It's hard to walk away from $65 million for 3 years. So we
I think he wants a shot of my money. I think he wants bigger money. You know,
well, yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, of course. He can get what he wants. The matter is, where is he going to play?
Right.
That's a big deal. Where is he going to play? In other top sports news today, we talked about Nick Fairley on Tuesday, about him being the real winner from the BCS championship game. He did declare officially for the draft. And even Mel Kiper, I guess he's been reading the blog, because he's got him number one on his board right now coming out, going to the Carolina Panthers. So congratulations, Nick. You're finna make a ton of money. And hopefully they get the collective bargaining agreement done and you can start making a ton of money right away. Other than that, you might have to call your agent, tell him, hey, man, you're going to have to front me for a little while. But hey, Nick is going to go to the draft, and I knew he was going to do this after having a strong performance in that championship game.
Oh, yeah, his stock went way up after that game. You know, it's how you finish, too. So he should be he'd be a wanted guy, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned the Mavs. Let's talk about them real quick because we do cover the Mavs a lot. We are the official online radio station for the Mavs. We're at every game. We talk to all the players. And let me give you some stats from this one. They lost to the Spurs tonight 101-89. It actually got worse than that at times, almost a 30-point lead for the Spurs at times. And let me give you some of the stats from the game. Deshaun Stevenson, a guy we said they had to step up, played 25 minutes tonight, had 3 points.
Wow.
Jason Kidd, he played 24 minutes tonight, which is around his average, a little bit less really for Kidd. He usually plays about 19, 20 minutes, but he's more of a role in the rotation now. He only had 7 points tonight.
Wow.
You know, and then
so
you
these guys aren't stepping up, right?
They're not. These guys are supposed to be stepping up. They're not doing anything. Sean Marion, he played 30 minutes tonight, had 14 points. He led everyone in scoring, had a decent stat sheet, 14 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 block. You know, it fit up the stat sheet, but it wasn't enough. They did start Ajinka tonight. He only played 8 minutes. He had 2 points. Tyson Chandler played 16 minutes, had 8 points. And then you ask, well, what did Jason Terry do? Well, Terry played 21 minutes tonight, had 9 points.
Wow.
9 points.
Yeah, they missed
Dominique Jones.
Dominique Jones came out, of course, the rookie.
He had 13 minutes and 13 points. Brendan Haywood played 20 minutes with 6 points. And Brandon Cardinal was able to put in 1-3 tonight. And Barea had 13 points. Jason Terry only had 9. I mean, you cannot have players like this, three players in double figures. Two of these guys are not starters. Dominique Jones, and he's not a starter. Barea's not a starter. Only Sean Marion was a guy with 14 points. And, and think about that lineup he put out there tonight. Deshaun Stevenson, Jason Kidd, Sean Marion, Tyson Chandler, and Ajinka played 2 centers tonight. And you've been critical about this team stepping up. What is it? I mean, Dirk is not coming back, misses 9 straight game. None of these guys are taking initiative to step up.
You know, Carlisle has tried every formula there is to try to get somebody to click on him. blow apparently is not working. He's tried every formula I could think of to try to get a good starting five. He's not getting any production out of these guys. You know, Rodney, it may be time to trade some of these guys. Andre looks real good right now.
And even our guest last night, Bill Ingram, mentioned that Steven Jackson would be a great addition because he'll be that guy in these guys' faces in the locker room. You know, when they went to the finals, that guy was the coach, Avery Johnson. They don't have anyone on that team with enough, you know, how you want to put it, to get in these guys' face and will them to another championship the way that Steven Jackson willed the Charlotte Bobcats to a playoff for the first time in their whole franchise history. Let's welcome on some callers real quick, Royce. We got someone calling in. And, caller, I'll identify you by the last four digits of your phone number, 8611. You're live on the RF Sports Radio Show.
Yeah, well, I say bring up Antonio Daniels, man.
Good point. Good point.
Off the Summer League, man. He's leading the whole Summer League in scoring. I mean, not Summer League, but the
D League.
Development League. Yeah. He's leading the whole league in scoring.
You're absolutely right. They need to make some kind of change, and they need to make it fast.
Daniels played on all those old Spurs teams that used to give us hell years ago.
Right. That's a good point. Think about that.
He's a good
utility. They can acquire him before anyone else can because he's sitting there on and he's their property, really, technically, to get a contract first. But, you know, the thing is, other teams are already trying to sign him right now. That's why I say he's a good commodity to have at some playoff time. Another thing, I wouldn't even worry about the regular season, man. I hope he wins enough games to get into the playoffs because that's where it really counts. I mean, the last 2 years they were second in the West and got knocked out by teams like Golden State and others that aren't really around right now. Mm-hmm. So I think the regular season they need to get everything straightened out. They need to get a chemistry. If they're going to make a trade, they need to do it now.
Let me ask you real quick, caller, because you sound like you're a Mavs fan, at least a basketball fan, if nothing else. How painful is it to sit back and watch this team lose these games and no Caron for the rest of the year, no Dirk coming back? I mean, as a fan, I mean, what do you think of sitting back? Because while they're losing games, the teams that we're trying to stay in the race with are winning games. And you don't want to be that eighth seed having to play San Antonio, having to play the L.A. Lakers the first round.
Well, we've already proven that we can beat San Antonio. But see, the way I see it is, you know, if you bring in a guy like Steve, I don't think Steven Jackson's the secret, you know. I really don't. I mean, unless they can get to just Caron. If someone will take that injury, that contract right there while he's injured, that'd be a blessing. But I just, you know, if you have to trade any other pieces, you're not doing yourself any favor. You're just trading talent for talent. They've already got enough talent in enough spots. They just have some empty spots now due to injury. If they can't trade one of those injured spots, you know, they basically just got screwed because the whole point of the Caron Butler trade was to give them a chance within that 2-year bracket to go to a championship again. Cuban's always about a fast resolution. That's why this time around it's going to cost them a lot of money to prove to Cuban that a trade this time of year is going to end up with them to a trip to the finals. Because he's done this the last 3-4 years in a row. He always pulls some big trade blockbuster at the trade deadline, all over the news, and then the Mavericks, you know, they've got this crazy team, you know, all the way back to when Antoine Walker and Jameson were here, you know?
Right.
You know, even before these two – go ahead.
Before these two guys
went down, they were a good team. They were, you know, probably the best team in the West. So they do have chemistry.
There was no chemistry with that team. There's no chemistry now because when Dirk's off the floor, man, he accounts for 30 points right there. Okay, yeah. They lost by 12 points. The way I look at it, the team looks pretty solid. Everybody's got, you know, 7 points, 9 points, 8 points. We're really spreading the ball around, you know. And then you got rookies like Dominique Jones stepping up that can score. Brea can go off the 30 at any time. You know, they're not that consistent, but it's just because they share the rock, man.
That's a good point.
It's a chemistry thing.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right. This team had some chemistry going into the season. I mean, they did win, 16 straight games, 17 straight games, some number like that, and they had the chemistry then. And, And you're right, they can get their chemistry right back once Dirk has a chance to make it back. We thank you definitely for your – go ahead.
They're missing 24.5 a game.
Yeah, yeah.
They're missing
the MVP
on the floor, man. So to lose by 11 points, you got to applaud them, man. That just shows they're still good. They're missing their MVP.
Yeah, you're right.
Let me call
right.
in, man.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you for your call anytime. Stay on with us tonight because we're going to be covering NFL, and I'd love to hear what your picks are. If you guys listen to us live, also give us a call, 323-927-2906. We're live Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 p.m. If you're downloading us on iTunes, check out the live show Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, and you can call in and voice your opinion and hear yourself on your iPod. It's the one and only show right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex that allows callers to call in and voice their opinion, so definitely do that. Let's move on real quick, Royce, while we can, and talk a little bit about the Cowboys before we get into the NFL action. The Cowboys may have found a defensive coordinator that they really want to go after. Story breaks out today that they have been looking at going to Rob Brian, the defensive coordinator from the Cleveland Browns. And, of course, if you, that name sounds familiar, that's Rex Ryan's brother, son of Buddy Ryan. Of course, everyone remembers Buddy Ball and how that rivalry started with the Cowboys. So let me ask you real quick, Royce, what do you think about getting a guy like Rob Ryan in here? He's a 3-4 guy, but what do you think about having him come coach his defense up?
Well, you know, Ryan, that's really not my first choice. Is this really the guy they want, or are they just taking a second and third? They're going to have to do it fast, and they're going to pick somebody fast. I don't know if he'd fit with this system, you know, but they're definitely going to get a defensive coach, and they're going to get one real fast. So I'm not too high on the guy, but, you know, he did a pretty good job in Cleveland, you know, and I hope it's just not a Wade Phillips thing, his own reputation alone, you know, so we'll see. I don't know.
Now, you know, Rob Ryan gets a lot of notoriety mainly because of his brother Rex Ryan and how outspoken he is for the Ryan family and his dad, Buddy Ryan. Now, he is coming from a Cleveland defense that was ranked 22nd in the league in 2010. They allowed 350.1 yards a game. The Cowboys allowed 351.8 yards a game, so it is not really a big improvement, you know.
I'm not
high
on the guy.
Yeah, it's not a big improvement in that aspect. And his background, he was he did do a 5-year stint in Oakland Raiders. He did win 2 Super Bowl rings with New England, but as a linebackers coach, and, of course, we know his father did the Buddy Ball in Philadelphia.
Right.
So I think the fans are kind of, you know, it sounds like a what they call a sexy pick, having Rob Ryan and Ryan coaching the team. But his pedigree, I mean, looking for what he did in that Cleveland defense, there. They gave up just as many yards as the Cowboys defense gave up.
That's right. That's what I say. I'm not really high on the guy. I don't really don't think that was first choice. But, you know, the more you wait, the less pickings you have out there. And I really don't, you know, how that's going to fit. And Jason Garrett, and, you know, I hadn't heard him say anything about it. You know, how does he feel? He's supposed to be the head coach. So whose choice is it? Is this Jerry's choice or is this the coach's choice?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, who knows? Who really knows? But I'm not really high on this pick. Let me get some more reaction from the fans. Let me bring on Rick real fast first. Cause I know he's holding. Rick knows just as much about the Cowboys as I do. Let me ask you, though, Rick. You watch the NFL. Rob Brown is the defensive coordinator here in Dallas. What's your reaction?
And, you know, I'm not real high on the pick, you know, right now. I mean, the hopes that I have about the whole situation is that, you know, he had a pretty good defense in Oakland and you know, he did get some Super Bowl experience when he was in New England, you know, but he didn't do real well in Cleveland, you know, and you got to put some of that on the coach, you know, but at the same time, he didn't have good players either. You know, it's not a whole lot of good defensive players out there in Cleveland. So, you know, it's probably was a lot to ask the guy to do. You know, I know if he definitely comes here in Dallas where he's got a few more talented players on defense, you know, if he doesn't do a good job here, then maybe he's just not a good coach. I do agree with the fact that I think he's getting a lot of notoriety and stuff because of what his brother's done. But then stuff like that, I'm sure, is giving some of the fans hope out there you know, hoping that he can pull off some of the same things that Rex is able to do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, why not try to approach some of the coaches like at Pittsburgh? I mean, somebody with some of these teams with some good defenses, you know what I mean, to rebuild a Cowboy defense.
Well,
you know, why not go
to
something of that caliber? Right.
That's the thing. The guy that they really wanted, Minuski, took that job in San Diego. I mean, they've interviewed other defensive coordinators around the league. It's apparent that they're trying to go after a 3-4 type of guy. So they're looking at 3-4 coaches mainly.
Oh, no doubt. And
the thing is, there are a lot of defensive coordinators that don't want to come here. As a coordinator, you're trying to find that gig that's going to get you the head coaching job. And the only reason that Rob Ryan's out looking for another gig because they did hire Pat Shurmur as a head coach in Cleveland when he thought he's going to get a chance to at least interview or become the head coach in Cleveland under Mike Holmgren. And that didn't work, so now he's looking for another job. And a lot of coaches don't want to take a coordinator job when a coach has got a brand-new four-year contract. That's 4 years that he's not going to be a head coach unless he goes to another team. So they're having a hard time. But my question is, you guys, should they – open their minds up? Should they, you know, be open-minded to maybe even change it to a 4-3, although it may take a year or may take a couple of drafts, to get a better defensive coordinator in here? Should they stick with a 3-4 and find someone that can coach a 3-4? And I ask you first, Russ.
This defense, I think a 3-4 will work for Dallas. I mean, you have to consider what talent is going to be there next year. Are they going to make any trades? So it's really too early to tell what will work because – one thing for sure, you're going to break down this defense and rebuild it again.
Mm. And, Rick, would you agree you think they need to stick with a 3-4, find a coach out there, even if it is a Rob Ryan, or should they be more open-minded, maybe looking at coaches that have worked in a 4-3 system?
Well, I mean, I don't see a problem with them being open-minded to bringing in a coach that coaches 4-3. They should just look for a good defensive coordinator, you know, but that defensive coordinator is going to have to be willing to coach a 3-4 defense because that's the type of personnel that they have, you know. So you got to be able to play with the players that you have, and the Cowboys have always been a win now type of team. You know, they've never really been outside of that year that Jerry Jones took over. They always thought that they've had chances to win. They've never been a real big let's build this thing. You know, of course they had to start out 1-15, but once they got a taste of winning, they felt like we're supposed to win. So they're going to want somebody that's going to come in and be able to take this team, you know, the way it's already built, you know, and go ahead and move forward.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Is everybody going to be in place next year? That's the question. I mean, does Jerry go out on the free market, or does he try to make trade? I mean, what personnel are you going to have? Do you have the same defense?
Well, yeah, I'm sure they will have the same defense out there. They have too many
of
the guys under contract, you know, outside of the defensive ends. But then even still, it's the, you know, the size of the players, the type of players that they are. You know, the players that leave, they're just going to try to fill in the gap, you know, with those same type of players. So I'm sure they're going to stay with the same 3-4 scheme.
But y'all have some holes. Y'all need some holes to be filling this defense. Don't you agree?
Oh, without question. A bunch of them.
Right. So do you fill those holes with the same personnel, or do you go out and try to find somebody to fill those holes?
You got to go out and find somebody to fill those holes.
You go out and try to find somebody. That's why they had a draft and free agency so you can make your team better as quick as possible. And that's what they got to do, but they got to get a coach first because the coach has got to, you know, they got to consult with somebody on what kind of player to go after. They got to have a coach in place first before they start working on the roster. You know,
time's running out on that, too. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They need to do it fast. Right.
Yeah, time is running out because pretty soon all the good coaches are going to be, you know, locked up or wherever they're going to be. Collective bargaining or not, doesn't make a difference. You got to keep your coaching staff in place. You're absolutely right. Let's take a quick commercial break, guys. We're going to be right back. We're going to start talking about these NFL playoffs and getting everyone's picks together. We're going to break down the games from every angle, every position. You're listening to the RF Sports Radio Show live on our NFL playoff weekend preview.
Tax time is coming, and you know you want your rapid refund as quick as possible. Call On Time Tax Services at 214-431-7853. That's 214-431-7853. 431-7853. Mention RF Sports Radio and get half off on your preparation fees. Call On Time Tax Services 214-431-7853 to get your rapid refund on time.
Calling all models, calling all actors, all music artists, calling all comedians and producers. I got a question for you. Have you been having trouble finding gigs, and not just gigs, but paid gigs? Well, if that's you, look no further. Okay. We got the perfect solution for your problem. Go to WeBookGigs.info right now.
Okay.
Sign up and create your profile. And let me tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get updates about shows and paid gigs sent directly to your personal Twitter, Facebook, email, and your phone. Now, the best thing about WeBookGigs.info is it's absolutely no cost to sign up. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. WeBookGigs.info right now. Right now.
Hi, this is Pastor Monica Wallace. I want to personally invite you to Kingdom Encounter every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Encounter each and every Sunday at 5 p.m. Hear what the Kingdom has to offer you and have your own encounter. That's blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Encounter. Sundays at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time with me, Pastor Monica Wallace, and may God bless you.
This is RF with the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm here live with my good friend, CEO and creator of LawApps.com, Jared Rice. Why don't you let everyone know exactly what LawApps.com is?
It's a mobilized version of an attorney's regular website so that people can access the site on mobile phones like smartphones, whether it be HTC, iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or Palm, or any Windows-based system.
So why does an attorney need LawApps.com?
Well, if you have a regular website and people are pulling it up on their mobile phone, obviously they can't see it. So if you don't have a mobilized version of your site, you're missing out on millions of customers. And, you know, for business, that's not a good thing, especially in 2011.
So what's the best way for people to get in contact with LawApps.com?
Go to our website at lawapps.com, and apps is spelled with a Z on the end, not an S. Or they can give us a call at our toll-free number, 1-888-974-6784. That's 1-888-974-6784.
And it's lawapps.com, LAWAPPZ.com. Get your law firm out of the dark ages.
Super Bowl is coming. Don't miss the chance for your business, product, service, or website to reach thousands of sports fans from around the world that will be coming to our backyard in Dallas-Fort Worth. We have several Super Bowl shows and appearances planned for the biggest evening in sports. We have street teams available to get your message in the hands of sports fans. Don't miss out on reduced advertising rates for more bang for your buck. Email rfsportsradio@gmail.com. That's rfsportsradio@gmail.com. See you at the Super Bowl.
We are back live. You're back on the RF Sports Radio Show for our live show every Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. We still got a lot of time left. We got about 30 minutes left in the program. So if you're listening to us online, call 323-927-2906 and voice your opinion. We're going to talk a lot about the NFL playoffs coming up and, of course, break down the games, break down the positions, and come up with some definitive winners. We got to do our picks. We've been picking all season throughout the NFL season, so we can't stop now. We got the NFL playoffs coming, and people are relying on us guys to pick the right ones because someone out there needs to pay a bill, car note, rent, child support, whatever you got to do. So get your pen and paper ready so you can get these picks from us. Let me bring Royce and Rick back on the line for our picks right now. Before we get into that, we have some reaction here on that defensive coordinator deal, and I'm getting some Facebook comments. Dwight Nelson saying that he thinks it will be a good look, in his opinion, having Rob Ryan here, but I think people are more caught up in the
name, as we were talking about before, not the actual stats. So we'll see. But they are hard at work as we speak right now at Valley Ranch trying to put a deal together for him. And Calvin Watkins is coming across on Twitter saying that he may just be a defensive line coach. He may not be the actual defensive coordinator. I don't see why he would take a D-line coaching job from a coordinator job, but I think he's going to be a coordinator here pretty soon. They are working on a deal for him right now. So if that story breaks, we'll come with you guys live with that also. So let's jump into some NFL action real quick, fellas. First of all, I know everyone's expecting to have a great weekend watching football, doing what they do.
Oh, yeah.
Rick, how you plan to spend your weekend tomorrow and on Sunday?
Well, tomorrow, you know, I'm going to go out and hang out with my little boy. Got a couple of basketball games to play tomorrow, and then I'm coming back, and it's pretty much going to be football the rest of the weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be torn up with football. It's going to be as much football as I can watch. I enjoy watching the playoffs, you know, and it's that time. It's playoffs.
It's playoff time. You're right. Royce, what's your plan? I mean, you're going to be sitting in front of the TV starting at what time?
Listen, I'm bunkered down already. I got the firewood. I got the fireplace going. I'm going to have it burned all weekend. I'm going to sit back and watch the rain. I'm planning on going out, and I'm going to be a football fanatic.
No joke. I plan to be sitting down watching everything starting from in the morning till we finally finish on both days, Saturday and Sunday. If you guys want to check in with us, see what we're doing, whether live or on our blog, go to rfsportsradio.com. Stay in contact with us. We'll be blogging throughout both games on Saturday and both games on Sunday, too. Let's take the first game on Saturday, guys, and this right here is being called Armageddon. It's the Ravens versus Steelers,
yeah,
at 3 o'clock game. Now, this game's got so much history behind it, it's amazing. From players getting hurt, cheap shots, both of these teams are always facing each other in the playoffs for the last few seasons. So there's bad blood between both of these teams, and it does not stop on the football field. I mean, this carries on off the field. These guys do not like each other 100% of the time. So let's break down this a little bit from position. Let's go with the biggest position on the field, and that's quarterback. You got Ben Roethlisberger for the Steelers, the home team. He's already got 2 Super Bowl rings. He's coming off a season where he missed the first 4 games due to suspension. Came back, has been effective. They won without him. They're still winning with him. And you got Joe Flacco. He's coming off what his 3rd year. He's been to playoffs before, has made it to an AFC Championship game, but now he's hungry. He had a year that wasn't as big as the years before, but he's very, very good quarterback to be such a young quarterback. And even Roethlisberger is a young quarterback, but he has 2 Super Bowls. So, Rick, let me ask you first, if you had to pick one quarterback out of 2, who are you giving a nod to, Big Ben or Flacco?
Well, I mean, certainly not a knock on Flacco, because I think he's an excellent quarterback, and he will be the better quarterback probably in the future. But right now I would have to go with Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, he's simply because he's done it before, you know, in some way, somehow, you know, and I don't want to overrate him, you know, but some way, somehow, he always seems to figure out a way, you know, to get it done. He's strong in the pocket, you know. Defenders try to bring him down, but he's still able to get the ball off, and he makes fairly good decisions out there. So I'd have to go with Ben.
Yeah, Ben, of course, has got the rings to prove it, too. He's got the skins on the wall, most definitely. Now, Ben has had a little bit down of a year, but keep in mind, he did not play 4 games this season. He's passed for 3,200 yards this season, 17 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Flacco's had 3,600 yards, actually 3,622, with 25 TDs and 10 interceptions. So, Royce, if you had to pick one of the other, who are you going with, Flacco or Roethlisberger?
I got to go with Ben. He's one of the hardest quarterbacks in the NFL to bring down, period. You just can't put a hand on him. You have to really wrap him up and bring him down. And I got to get a nod to him. And the guy is a very good passer. And it's just something about Pittsburgh. When they get on the big stage, they always find a way to win. And Ben has proven that time after time. So I got to get a nod to Ben.
Yeah, and I like Ben, too. Ben's got the skins on the wall. He's got the Super Bowl rings. He's been there. He's done that. He's come back from, you know, the offseason that he's had, missing the four games, and really has been showing some kind of resolve for their team to where they really believe in him. Like Rick said, though, I think Flacco's going to be a great quarterback. Don't get me wrong. But Ben has been there and done that, so I got to give the nod to Ben over Flacco. Now, let's look at the offense as a whole. The offense total, they're averaging, the Ravens are averaging 322.9 yards a game. Steelers averaging 345.3 yards a game. So, Royce, if we look at the offense as a whole, we're talking running back, we're talking wide receivers, Hines Ward, Anquan Boldin, Derek Mason, the receivers, the running back situation with Ray Rice and Willis McGahee, both on Ravens, and, of course, Mendenhall with the Steelers. But if you look at the offense as a whole, Royce, who are you giving a nod to having a better offense that can move the football?
Well, I'm kind of biased on this one. I'm really not a Pittsburgh fan. But on offense-wise, I'd say they're about equal because you got Anquan Boldin, which was added to the Ravens and makes them just as potent as the Pittsburgh offense. So I'm going to say they're about even offensively. Mm. Look at the numbers. They're close in numbers. It's, I mean,
yeah, very
I'd say they're about
numbers.
Equal. Right.
Very close
right.
to numbers. And Rick, if you had to take an offense and put them on your team to go out there on the field to win this game, which offense you think is going to be able to move the ball the best?
Well, I mean, I would have to go with Pittsburgh. You know, I do agree that they are fairly close. You know, if I had to just choose a running back situation, I would go with the Ravens. I think they run the ball a lot better. Their ground game is definitely better, in my opinion. But, you know, the Pittsburgh as a whole, you know, they have Hines Ward, who's a veteran. He's been there. He's done it. You know, and they have an explosive receiver out there too. You know, but the person that bridges the gap goes back to the quarterback, and it's Roethlisberger. So you know that's why I would go ahead and give Pittsburgh the nod.
Yeah, yeah, and you know what? It goes back to the quarterback, like you said, and I got to give Pittsburgh the nod on that. Although that Ravens running attack having two running backs that can really run the ball in two
and
different styles. Helps, yeah, it helps a lot.
Right.
Although we should mention that Ray Rice, there's a report coming out today that he's sick. They say he's been throwing up all day at the team hotel. So who knows how effective he's really going to be next week. But, you know, they still got Willis McGahee. Of course, he got knocked out in the last playoff
right.
game. But he's going to come back and he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. So if you look at it in that dynamic, you got to get the rushing to the Ravens, passing to the Steelers with Roethlisberger. So, it's an even, like Roy said, it's about an even thing to me. It's a pretty much
but
a
you
watch.
Remember Anquan Boldin, boy, he's a bad boy. I mean,
yeah, he is.
It is time to shine. I do believe he was shining this game.
And you know what?
They
he hasn't
they,
really
they,
been
Smith,
an effective.
They have Husmith Zahra, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And Derek Mason, the veteran. So,
right.
you know, they got a
right.
great receiving core. It's gonna be right. it's gonna be a good matchup on offensive wise. Now the big question in this game is gonna be the defense. Now,
yes sir.
Statistically, the Steelers have a better defense. They're only giving up 276.8 yards a game. Ravens are giving up 318.9. But if you saw that game against the Chiefs last week, you gotta say the Ravens defense is on point. The way they're playing right now, the way they hit everyone. They only allowed the Chiefs to score one touchdown in the first quarter of the game and shut them down for the rest of the game. And that was on the road, and they're going on the road against Pittsburgh, a team they played a lot, but they can still beat that team. They beat them October 3rd, 17-14. So my question to you, Rick, is if you had to pick a defense, who you going to go with? I mean, that's a toss-up to me.
Defenses are fairly close, you know. I mean, of course, I take the Steelers' defensive line, but as far as the secondary and the linebackers, I would have to go with the Ravens. So, you know, overall, I would have to take the Ravens. And, you know, the thing that I think makes the difference here is that the Ravens is like that well-oiled machine. You know, that car's been out on the highway. And the Steelers coming off this bye, you know, yes, they did get the rest. You know, but they're going to have a few cobwebs that they're going to need to shake off. They might have gotten a little bit more healthy, but the Ravens have been out there running, you know, and I think their machine is just going to be going a lot better.
And, Royce, if you had to go with the defense, who you like in this game?
Well, look, you got Ray Lewis on one side. You got Polamalu on the other. That's the two equalizers right there. So I'd say they're about equal. I don't believe it's going to be the defense. I think it's going to be the offensive line. In terms of this game, which offensive line can protect their quarterback and get them a chance to win is going to win. I don't think it's on the defense. I'd say they're about equal on defense. But you do have Ray Lewis, Polamalu, two of the best linebackers.
James Harrison, you got some nasty players on both sides of the ball. Woodson, you got some nasty players on both sides of the ball. But so it's the offensive line. Yeah, offensive line's gonna be the biggest thing, you know. But I've got to give the nod to the Ravens. Ravens, honestly, guys, are my pick to make it out the AFC. So I got to ride with them in this game. I'm gonna pick the Ravens to win. Although I think you know the offense is better for the Steelers. But I think the way that defense played and with Ed Reed, the heavy heart that he's playing with right now, the defense is rallying around him.
Right.
And the Ravens are one of those teams where they don't need the offense to win the game. They do not need the offense to win the game. They won a Super Bowl on defense alone.
Right.
So I'm going to give a nod to the, I'm going to give the nod to the Ravens. Rick, who you picking this game?
I'm going with the Ravens. You know, and one thing I wanted to say is Royce brought it up, you know, that – Troy Polamalu, he's probably the best safety in the game, you know.
Right.
But then when you think about it, on the Ravens' end, Ed Reed, he's probably number two. And they have Ray Lewis out there in the linebacker with Terrell Suggs, you know. So I'm going to go with the Ravens and their defense out there.
And, hey, Royce, who you picking this game?
I'm going to ride that bird, too. I'm going with the Ravens. Well, I like. Right. This is personal for me. I want the Ravens to win.
I didn't know you didn't like the Steelers, man.
I'm like you with watching Redskins.
Oh, Lord, that's bad.
Well, either way, we all like the Ravens in this game, so go ahead and mark that down as a lock for a win. And I think we're in for an interesting game because the last seven meetings between both of these teams dating back to 2008, the winner's only won by 3 points. So it's going to be a very, very good game to start off the playoff weekend. Let's jump into our next game real fast on Saturday. And let me pull that up for you guys real quick. And that's going to be the divisional game between the Green Bay Packers and the Atlanta Falcons. The Green Bay going on the road, coming out for a nice win, a really, really good win. I guess the Philadelphia Eagles team that everybody really, really liked. They're going back on the road to play the Falcons, who the Falcons have one of the best home records out of anybody. They've only lost one game this season, and they've only lost two games in the last three seasons at home. So they got to go up against Matty Ice and start with the quarterback. Guys, who you like? I mean, Rick, do you like what – you got to like what Aaron Rodgers is doing. He's on fire right now. But Matt Ryan at home is hard to beat.
Matt Ryan at home is very, very hard to beat. You know, and if I'm having to take, you know, just a quarterback, just in my opinion, you know, I would probably go with Matt Ryan, you know. But for some reason, I think Green Bay is going to go in there and beat Atlanta this weekend. I really do think they're going to go in there and beat Atlanta. I think this is going to be a situation where, you know, history, the experience of the team, you know, the longevity of that team, as long as they've been winning, you know, and also I think the Packers simply have a better defense than what the Falcons have. So, you know, I'm going with Green Bay on this.
Yeah, and their numbers are really, really close too, Royce. I mean, if you look at the quarterback position, Rodgers threw for 3,900 yards. Matt Ryan threw for 3,700, but both were thrown for 28 TDs. Matt Ryan had 9 interceptions. Rodgers had 11. And Rodgers, remember, he didn't play a couple of games because of a concussion. Went out early in one and missed the next one. And the team was one of the teams that went into the playoffs red hot. I mean, they had to win two games to get in. They did that. They went on the road and beat Philadelphia. So let me ask you real quick, who do you like in this game? And what do you think is going to be the key for them to win?
You know, I could almost agree with what Rick just said about the Green Bay being, and they are hot right now. But I think it's going to be the 12th man in this game, and that's the home crowd. If it's close, I got to give it to the 12th man. And in the Georgia Dome, I mean, I can't see it. I mean, I got to go with the 12th man. I'm going to Atlanta.
Wow. You know what? This game here is going to be very, very close. These teams did meet on November the 28th this season, and if you guys remember, it was a field goal to win by Atlanta. They won by 3 points. These teams are very, very even. Other stats on defense, you guys know the Packers defense has been great, especially how they were against the Eagles. They shut down Michael Vick, and they shut down DeSean Jackson in the Eagles game. They're only giving up 309 yards a game. Falcons are giving up 332. And if I had to make a pick here, I'm going to have to go with the defense. In the playoffs, defense is what wins you the game. And I think the Packers have got a better defense. I think Aaron Rodgers is hot. He has his first playoff win in his career. And I think this is keep writing his book, and he keeps going there. Anytime a player gets that first win, he gets that taste, he wants it more. And I like the Packers to go in there and beat the Falcons. It's hard for a team that had a week off going up against the hottest team in the NFL. So I'm about to give a nod to the Packers on this one.
Okay, what if Aaron Rodgers get hit?
Well, hey, it's that's for anybody, though.
It's
what if anybody?
Well, that's right. I mean, I say that Atlanta front line is going to put too much. I mean, Ray Rodgers can throw under pressure. He can move out of the pocket. But if they get to him, I mean, I think he's. I got to get a nod to Atlanta. That's just I'm out on a limb by myself. I'm trying to justify myself, even though I agree with Ray. But
it's all good because let me tell you this. This is against my better judgment. You know, it's kind of reversed for reversed. You know, from Washington, but I don't like Green Bay, but it's kind of reversed on the reason I don't like them. You know, I mean, Green Bay, the fans that I know from Green Bay, they make it hard for me to like them because they're rude and obnoxious. They can't give credit to nobody else, but it's just the ones that I personally know, so I'm not talking about all of them. So it makes it hard for me to say that they're actually going to do something positive, but I seriously think that they're going to go out there and win this game, though.
Yes, that'd be anybody's game. This is one of those games.
If it came down to rushing, you have to get a nod to Atlanta Falcons. What Michael Turner's doing, got over 1,300 yards rushing. But if they get, you know, half of that performance that they got out of their rookie for the Packers last week, I mean, that gives them a great chance. He had over 100 yards rushing, and he came out of nowhere and rushed against that Eagles defense. So I think if he can just get half of that maybe, then they'll have a great chance to go. We've got two more games on Sunday to cover real quick, guys. We got limited time tonight, so let's get into those real quick. And our first Sunday game is going to be a game that's very, very interesting. It's got the Seahawks coming off a shocking win against the champion New Orleans Saints, a team that Royce, you thought was going to go back to the Super Bowl and win it again. Apparently, Bourbon Street is shut down. Apparently, Bourbon Street is shut down. The party is over finally. They can stop celebrating and move on to another season finally. But the Seahawks have beat the Bears before. They beat them on October 17th, 23-20. They won by 3 points, and that game was in Chicago. The game was in Chicago. So they've done it before. They're coming off a win off the Super Bowl champion team. I thought they would lose. They're a 7-win team in the playoffs. So, Russ, I got to ask you first. I mean, they did beat your team, your pick this year. Do you like them to go into Soldier Field and beat the Bears?
Well, you know, I don't know what to make of this Seattle team. I really don't. But they played like men last week to reach this championship game. They really surprised. I think they shocked the nation. But Soldier Field, I mean, the weather, I don't think they can stand the cold weather. I think that's where the advantage goes to Chicago. They're used to it. They practice in it. And I've seen them win too many games, and it's going to be really cold up there. I got to get a nod to Chicago.
They play in the Northwest. It's not like they play in Miami.
Where's
you know,
they play
in some weather. They play outside, too.
Right.
Yeah, they have to deal with rain.
But that's nothing like
though.
Chicago. It's nothing like Chicago weather. I can guarantee you. It's
that's
nothing
true.
Like Chicago weather. Right.
So you like the Bears, the whole serve. And, Rick, who you like this game? You think the Seahawks, shocking the world, is going to continue? This Pete Carroll college atmosphere is going to do something in the playoffs this season? Are they going to shock the Bears and get to an NFC championship game?
No. The college atmosphere stopped, and it was back in Seattle. You know, I still don't believe in this Seattle team. You know, I do give them credit for going out there and winning the game, but I do think – seriously, that the Saints did more to lose it than Seattle did to win. I think Chicago will be prepared to play like I think both teams will, but
They're going to be playing in the cold weather. Chicago was missing a few players the last time that they played. I don't think Chicago is just the greatest team, but I do think they're going to be pretty good Sunday against the Seahawks, though.
Yeah. And talk about a team that's 7-9. Look at the quarterback comparison. Hasselbeck has thrown 12 touchdowns and 17 interceptions. Cutler's thrown 23 touchdowns and 16 interceptions. So this could come down to a turnover battle if both these guys are throwing picks like this. Because anytime Jay Cutler drops back, you got to wonder, is he going to hit the long bomb or throw another pick? Because Jay Cutler is known to do that. And the way that Mike Marsh has that offense running for the Bears, he leaves Cutler back there in those seven-step drops. They can get the rush in there. They can cause some damage. They did the same thing against Drew Brees. You know, they caused a lot of damage getting the backfield on him. But I'm like you guys. I think the Bears pulled this one out. I think the ride stops. I think New Orleans feels even worse about losing to this 7-9 team. And I think the Bears will pull it out and make it to another NFC Championship game. So I like the Bears.
Then you got Chester Green. You got to get it up with Devin Hester, man.
That's true.
My God.
He's the X Factor. You're right.
Right.
I mean, the special team has been good, too. I mean, Leon Watson's had a great year, special
right.
teams, but he's not Devin Hester. Devin Hester is a guy that could easily make it to any Pro Bowl team and any Hall of Fame team, maybe, off of special teams alone. So he's not Devin Hester.
And I have you know, Pete Carroll has said, you know, he doesn't care. He's not scared of him, and he's going to punt to him.
Mm.
Oh.
Well, that'll be his mistake. You got to tell
that
him he's not playing Texas in the Rose Bowl. You're not playing Texas in the Rose Bowl, Pete. You're playing Devin Hester and Soldier Field. You need to remember that. You coach the NFL now, buddy.
That'll be a mistake.
That'll be a
big mistake. He did say he was going to punt to him. Devin
right.
Hester said, well, you know, it's okay. You know, they can punt to him. Some people just don't know.
And speaking of trash talk, let's get into the biggest trash talking game I've ever seen. I mean, I've never seen so much hype about a game in the playoffs, a game that the coach for the Jets, Rex Ryan, is calling the second most important game in Jets history. Of course, the first being the Super Bowl win by Joe Namath. But they're saying it's the second biggest game. Y'all have heard the back talk back and forth. Antonio Cromartie calling Tom Brady out of his name. Wes Welker comes out and throws a shot at Rex Ryan yesterday about the foot video. So it's going
yeah,
back
was
and
the
forth.
That was the most classic one, too.
It was. It really was the most classic one, honestly. But both of these teams are taking on the identity of their coach. So let's start with the coach on this one. I mean, they know each other. They play each other a lot. They did get beat down, you know, 45-3 just in December 6th. But the Jets have beat them this year, too, 28-14. So, Royce, let me ask you first, if you had to go with coaching, which style are you identifying with? Do you like the brash Rex Ryan or the calm, cool, and collective we do it on the field, Bill Belichick?
I got to go with Bill Belichick. I mean, the guy has won Super Bowls. I mean, Rex Ryan does talk a good game. He does make funny press conference, but I got to give the nod to Belichick.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to give the nod to Belichick if you look on his whole career. But let's just take this season. You know, take what they've done this season. The Jets were on the brink of disaster at one point. They had lost two straight. Sanchez looked like, you know, a second-year quarterback. He's had a pretty bad year. He's got 17 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Tom Brady, 36 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. And yet these guys are still meeting for a playoff game in New England. So, Rick, you got to think that Rex Ryan's done a good job this season, but looking at both coaches in this season, you know, what coach you think has done the better job?
I mean, Rex Ryan has done a hell of a job out there. Give him credit for what he's done. I like his style a whole lot better than Bill Belichick, but if I have to pick a coach, I'm going with Bill Belichick. I mean, you know, say what you want about him, you know, all the good things, all the negative things, the winning the Super Bowls, the cheating, whatever you want to say about Bill Belichick, he's getting it done. He's getting it done out there, so I would have to go with Bill, period.
Yeah. It's hard. Like I said, it's hard to go against Bill. I mean, he's been able to do this and get his team the number one seed in all the NFL best record. He's got the team positioned to go to another Super Bowl, and did it all without their best offensive player. He let Randy Moss go early in the season.
Right.
So he did it without his best offensive weapon. He's got Brady, but, you know, they let go of Randy Moss and still were able to have a great season. So for that, you know, you got to give it to Bill Belichick.
He's playing with rookies on defense in important positions, too, and they still 14-2.
That's true. Now, let me ask you, Royce, now let's look at the running game real quick before we make our pick. You got LaDainian Tomlinson and his resurgence, but they still have other running backs there, too. And Ben Jarvis, he's been doing this thing for New England as well, another young guy. If you had to look at both running games, who are you going to give the nod to?
I got to give it to the Jets. You know, that's the Jets' offense. It's run the ball down your throat. I got to give it to the Jets.
And, Rick, you like the Jets running game, too? I mean, that's what they do. They run the ball.
Exactly. That's exactly what they do. You know, I agree with the both of you. That's their game. You know, it's a little different for New England because they have a passing game. But with the Jets, running game runs they whole offense. You know, have to give it to them. And LT has had a nice resurgence out there. So, yeah, Jets running game.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting, too, is actually the Patriots are averaging – 18 yards more per game than the Jets, even though the Jets run the ball so much. And right now, if you look at the polls, I mean, it's almost a split decision. 29% are going for the Patriots, 18% are going for the Jets. So now it's time for us to weigh in and give everybody our lock. This is the biggest game of the playoffs, the one everyone wants to watch, the Sunday afternoon game. So I'll start with you, Russ. I'll let you pick. You like the Jets or you going with the Patriots?
You know, Rodney, I have two sons. One's a Patriot fan, one's a Cowboy fan. I did roll you with the Cowboys, but they're not in the playoffs. So I got to ride with my other son. I can't say anything other than New England. And if you look at their record, they're like 11-2 in the playoffs. As much as I would like to see the Jets win, I got to go with a proven record. That's New England. I mean, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, in New England in the cold. I mean, it's too much in that place.
You're picking the Pets.
I've seen the Jets play horrible. What Jets team is going to show up? That's what bothers me. I know the Patriots are going to come ready. I've seen the Jets be horrible this year. So what Jets team is going to show up, I don't know. But I got to roll with New England.
All right, and Rick, who are you picking this game?
The Patriots undoubtedly have the best quarterback, period. You know, and their running games can be close to the same, but I would still pick the Jets running game. I think New England's might have a few more yards because their offense is opened up wide. Their offense is more wide than the Jets. Defense is key in on the Jets running game, and they still gets it done, you know. I'm going to have to roll with the Jets on this game. And I think that's more because of what I want versus what I really think is going to happen. You know, I think that 45-3 or 6 or whatever it was, shellacking that they put on them, the Jets don't want that to happen again. And I think the Jets are going to show up a whole lot better this Sunday. I'm going with the Jets.
Now, I should tell our listening public, if you guys have been listening to our show throughout the NFL season, honestly, I have a bias against the Patriots. It is a personal deal. I'm not going to make any ifs, ands, and buts about it. It is a personal deal. But, you know, I got to give it to the Patriots on one thing. They've been very consistent. They've been one of the best teams for a long time. As far as Tom Brady, that's still a debatable issue for me. But I think, like you said, Rick, I mean, my football brain says you got to pick the Patriots. They got everything. They're leading every category. Everything we went over, they're right there. But in my heart, I got to go with the Jets. I like to see the Jets win. I like to see them beat them in Foxborough, in the cold. And I want to see the reaction from the riding public after that. So I'm going with the Jets in this game. Let's recap real fast before we get out there. Rick, you got the Ravens, Packers, Bears, and Jets. I'm going with the Ravens, Packers, Bears, and Jets also. And, Royce, you got the Ravens, Falcons, Bears, and the Pats. So we'll make sure you guys tune in on Monday. We'll be recapping all the games. Go to our blog, rfsportsradio.com. You can follow us as we watch the games on Saturday and Sunday. We thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday, 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio.